This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
The title of this sermon is Jesus' True Mission on Earth. Amen. Jesus' True Mission on Earth. If you'd ask the average person, what is Jesus' true mission on earth, they may give you a lot of different answers. And some may say Jesus' true mission on earth is to build a religion. So some may say that his true mission on earth was to build a religion, to create a religion, another religion. And there's many religions in this world. Amen. But I would have to say no, that wasn't his true mission. It wasn't to head up, you know, Christianity in a sense. And some might say, well, Jesus' mission on earth was to tell me what to do. You know, that was his true mission. No, that wasn't his true mission. He's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. But the Bible says Jesus is not a hard taskmaster. Amen. Some would say, well, you serve the Lord. I see this sometimes in movies. Oh, he's a hard taskmaster. Sometimes they get it wrong in movies. But Jesus was never meant to be a hard taskmaster. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so sometimes people are afraid to serve Jesus because they think that Jesus is going to tell them to go to, you know, some foreign country and like Africa. And like my pastor said, you know, he ran from Jesus because he thought that God was going to send him to Africa. Amen. And that he didn't have Jane. And there's a lions and tigers and bears out there, amen? And he ran because he had a fear of what Jesus would tell him to do. I'm going to say this, don't have a fear of Jesus because God created us and he already put a schematic in your hearts. And when you hook up with God and he starts leading you in what you need to do, you're going to be the happiest person on planet Earth. Amen. When you're walking out that vision, amen? So here, Jesus' true mission on earth is really in his first sermon. And so this sermon, I really believe, and some scholars believe this, that Jesus, whenever he went around speaking to crowds of people, he would actually minister this sermon. And it's quite true because I really believe that what you minister on will build faith in people's hearts. I remember listening to Brother Hagin, and he had a revelation of Jesus. Jesus actually appeared to Brother Hagin, and Jesus actually appeared to him and gave him a healing anointing. So Brother Hagin had this healing anointing, and he was really, he would heal people of cancer. That was one of the things that Brother Hagin would heal people. But Jesus touched both his hands and said, now your hands are anointed. And so, and explain to him when the power moves in your hands, you have the gift of healing. And so also, he also said some other things, but this is really interesting. Jesus said to Brother Hagin that you needed to tell the people that he saw Jesus and that Jesus put his hands in each one and that he was anointed. And if people received that as truth, they would normally get healed. So Jesus told him to do that so that people would have faith. Now here Jesus is ministering in his own hometown. And this is right after he came through the wilderness. And the Bible says he came out through the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Now, some of us are going through a wilderness. And we've been going through a wilderness, this pandemic and all this. But I'm telling you, the church is coming out. Yes. You're coming out in the power of the Spirit. You believe that today? Because I'm telling you, yeah, you know, lots of churches are closed down. About 25% of the people I hear are attending church. You know, maybe 35% of the people. But God is about ready to show up. Do you believe that today? So you need to get ready. Get ready for a great move of God because he's about ready to sweep the harvest in. Do you believe that today? And he's preparing us. Look at your neighbor and say, he's preparing you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, And my man is so fast, he has it behind me. Man, I'm proud of this guy. And it says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Powerful. So you could say Jesus' true mission on earth is all wrapped up in this verse that he pulled out of Isaiah. Now, here he said the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, right, to preach the good news that to the poor. And what was he saying? He was saying that to the poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. He was saying to the sick, you don't have to be sick anymore. He was saying to the disenfranchised, God's going to vindicate you. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? No matter what you're going through, whatever injustice might have happened to you, God is turning it around. Can somebody say yes and amen? So we see here that Jesus preaches, and I believe this, that he ministered this message wherever he went. Because he needed to reveal to the people that he was anointed, think about that, to set people free. I'm going to make a radical statement this morning. You're anointed to set people free. Are you listening to what I say? It might be radical in some churches to say that you're anointed. I remember my dad was in the hospital. We were visiting somebody in the hospital. My dad was there. And my pastor that actually started this church, he would get the congregation to say, whenever anybody asked you, how are you doing? He would get the congregation to say, well, we're blessed and anointed. Amen. Somebody say, I'm blessed and anointed. Amen. And so my dad said, of course, it was a Catholic nun or somebody that was there. And she said, well, how are you doing, Mr. Lambert? And he said, blessed and anointed. And she almost fell out. You know, only saints can be anointed after they're dead. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Because they immortalize saints in the Catholic Church. Amen. And so only those that are the saints that are anointed. Regular people can't be anointed. Amen. No. Jesus paid the price so that you, yes, you can be anointed. You, some of you ladies can be anointed to cook. Okay, we'll continue. Some of you are like, all right, we'll continue. And some of you guys are anointed. Yeah, we'll continue. And to grill. Amen. So let's look at this. Jesus' true mission on earth. So Jesus really, it's really a threefold purpose that Jesus came to do. And number one, Jesus came to give us eternal, abundant resurrection life. I had to throw it all in there. I mean, eternal, abundant, resurrection life. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? That's good news this morning. Yeah. Amen. Because, you know, you might be saying, well, that's what my coffee does for me in the morning. No, you might need a cup of coffee, right, to get you moving in the morning. I mean, maybe you can't do without your coffee. Amen. But I'm going to say this, you can't really do without Jesus. Amen. You can't do without the anointing. Amen. Say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Amen. Glory to God. And so here, I love this scripture because it's one of my favorite scriptures, and I have a lot of them. And I'm going to say this, that you should have a lot of favorite scriptures in the Bible. Amen. I like to quote movies. And I'm a movie buff. I love quoting movies, but you should love quoting Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And so here, this Jesus is speaking here and says this in John 10:10. Jesus said, it's the thief. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I came that you may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. This is the Amplified I'm reading out of, the classic version. So let me read that again. Jesus came that we may have life abundant to the full till it overflows. And I love Psalms 23 because in Psalms 23, which probably most of you can quote Psalms 23, amen, especially if you've dealt with, if you've been in the valley of any time, you want to go to Psalms 23 when you're in the valley. But even though we walk through the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, right? But it says that he anoints our heads with oil, our cup overflows. So what kind of walk does Jesus want us to have? He wants us to have an overflowing, joyful, peaceful, loving. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Walk in him. In other words, nothing broken, nothing missing, like I said earlier, amen? So we see here that this verse right here, one minister said it's the dividing line of the Bible. What does that mean? Well, because a lot of people, and even religious people, and even some Christians, believe that God is behind the good, the bad, and the ugly. So a lot of people feel, well, you know, if something bad happens, that's God. A car accident, that's God. You know, somebody gets killed, that's God. You know, God's ways are amazing. You know, somebody dies early, you know, his wonders to behold. Right? You know, you hear these religious expressions, right? And so we don't buy into the narrative that God is behind the bad and the ugly. Amen? No, we got to buy it. We got to believe, like Jesus said, amen, that, and we'll continue, we'll get into it, but Jesus came to give us life and to give life what? More abundantly. Amen. Now let's look at this. We need to talk about, you know, this is Resurrection Sunday, right? Yeah. So we need to talk about that. So let's look at here. This is a scripture right before John 3:16. It's John 3:14 and 15. And I love this. And Moses is speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a religious man. He's doing all the religious things. And of course, Jesus said, you know, you must be born again. It's more than just doing religious works. Amen. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he's talking to, you know, Nicodemus, and he refers to something that happened in the Old Testament. It's about, you know, the children of Israel. They were complaining about God, the Israelites, and the Bible said that they were complaining and murmuring, and the Bible says they were snakes that came up from the ground and started biting people. You know, it's bad enough you're in the wilderness.
That's right.
And then you start, anybody ever complained in your wilderness?
Yes.
Do you know the Bible is against complaining?
Yes. Oh.
The Bible says, complain as much as you can. No, the Bible says, give thanks in all things. Not for all things, in all things. Why? Because God's going to walk with you. And when there's one footprint, that's him carrying you. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So you think you're carrying yourself. No, God's carrying you. At the hardest times of your life, God is carrying you. That could preach, and I could drop the mic right now. Are you listening? And you think, oh no, I'm strong. I've heard people say that. I'm strong, Pastor. Yeah, and they cry like a little baby when they hurt their little finger. You know what I'm saying? No, listen. The Bible doesn't say be strong in yourself. The Bible says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Right? And so here, so Jesus, now he's focusing, because you know, Jesus, when he was down here, he was doing all these miracles and he was healing people. But Jesus kept always saying to his disciples, I'm going to the cross, guys. He would just remind them, I'm going to the cross. Hey, just a little reminder, I'm going to the cross. And they would not hear it. I don't want to hear that. No, nobody wants to hear bad news. Have you ever had a fear of something and you just don't want to think about it? You try to push it back. I don't want to think about that problem. And the enemy, you know, it might be a pain in your body, and the devil's saying, cancer. And you know, And us guys, we don't even like going to the doctors. We'll be half dead before we go to doctors. Are you hear what I'm saying? Because us guys are more of wimps than ladies. Ladies, they're tough. Women are tough. Us guys, we're wimps. Is that right? Is that right? We get her, you know, you ladies, you guys are tough. I mean, you guys handle, because you guys go through a lot of stuff. I mean, having babies, you guys are tough. Tough. My Lord Jesus. I couldn't even think about having a, I mean, I know Arnold tried to have one, you know, in some movie or something like that. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't know, I haven't ever seen that movie. But man, not me, man. Praise God. You ladies are tough. Amen. So that's why you guys live a lot longer than us. But anyway, we'll continue. Is that right? Women live longer than men, right? And not all of them, right? John 3:14-15. So he says, and Moses was lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, you know, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now what God told Moses to do, because the people were, see, they were getting snake bit, and they were dying, and they were complaining, and it was worse. And so Moses started praying, God, what can I do? And God said, listen, this is what I want you to do, man. I want you to get a brazen a serpent, put it on a pole, like two snakes. And you know, I heard one minister says, well, if that's supposed to represent Jesus, why not put a lamb on the pole? You know, should I put a lamb? You know, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Or maybe a lion, because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Why put a snake? You think about that, on a pole to represent Jesus? Right? Well, because see, Jesus, really, Jesus on the cross, he represented sin. In other words, Jesus, when he came on the cross, the Bible says he became sin. In other words, he embodied sin. In other words, he did not sin, but he became sin. He took on every depravity, every low life thing we've ever done. Think about the lowest life thing you ever done, and he took it on the cross. And he became sin, right? He was so marred, the Bible says, that you couldn't even recognize him as a man. Wow. See, sin is bad. Sin put Jesus, see, some say, well, it was the Jews that put Jesus on the cross, you know. And the Jews would say, no, it was the Romans that put Jesus on the cross. No, it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. Yes, they were instruments and they were people that were used and manipulated as pawns by the devil, of course, yeah. But really, it was my sin, it was your sin. So really, when Jesus was lifted up on the right, he said, if I be lifted up, I love that scripture, I will draw all men to myself. So Jesus looked like a sinner up on the cross. He looked like he became sin. Why? Because he had to trick hell. What do I mean by that? He had to look like the sinner for hell to let him down there. Now, I'm kind of getting off. Because the devil would not let him in his domain if he got glorified up there on that cross. Because he had to look like sinner. So the devil said, oh, we got him now. You know, darkness was jumping up and down. We got him. We got him. Have you ever felt like you were got by the devil? Hey, yeah, sometimes we do. But I'm telling you, God has the final say-so. You may feel like you got. Yeah. Oh, that devil got you, you know. No, you know, like the razor. Gotcha, you know. And I'm telling you, God will vindicate you.
Yes, he will.
You know, when you listen to what I'm saying. In other words, God's power is much more greater than the devil's power. Remember when Moses, he had his staff and he threw down his staff and it turned into a snake. And then, of course, the devil has power, too. The devil does have some power. He has power to deceive. He has power. Amen. But God has ultimate power.
Amen.
And so when Pharaoh's magicians, when they had their snakes come out, you know, Moses' snake ate up their snakes because it was a king snake. Are you listening? In other words, a created being can never exalt over the creator.
Amen.
That was the stupidest thing Lucifer ever did. He tried to exalt himself over the king over the kingdom of God. And of course, he fell like lightning that day, right?
Amen.
Amen. So what is God doing? He's raising us up to exalt over the kingdom of darkness. He's raising you up, right, to reign in your domain. In other words, you don't have to have anything controlling you. In other words, you can control the circumstance. Oh, Pastor, I thought God works all things out for good to those who are called by his name. Amen. That are called to love him. He's working it all out. Well, no, God works with us. Choose this day who you serve. Choose this day if you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the other guy. I don't want to serve the other guy.
Amen.
Amen. Who's that? Satan, you know. Amen. And so let's look at this. And I'm trying to get through. I could probably preach for 3 hours, you know, because I love this. I love the word of God. And it should ignite something on the inside of you. In other words, there's no losers in Jesus. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? More than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So let's look at this. It says here, let's look at John 1, 12 and 13. And so what Jesus did when he went to the cross, he paid the sin price for us so that we can have a relationship with God. And that relationship brings us into sonship. Look at John 1, 12 and 13. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The right. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So here we have sonship. So you have sonship rights. So it says here, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. And so we see that God is not excluding anybody. All are welcome into the kingdom of God. All those who are willing to believe and receive him. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the best thing going. There's nothing better. Amen. Romans 8, 15 and 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is one of the most powerful verses of sonship in the Bible. And this just says it all. And it's like, you know, I heard this story, you know, about this person that served the devil and he ended up in hell. And he thought serving the devil that the devil was going to share his kingdom with him down in hell. And this other person had a revelation of hell. And he was kind of, you know, God will reveal truth about people in hell to some people to reveal truth. And that person, when he got to hell, the devil always says, go into the torture chamber. Why? Because the devil's not sharing his kingdom with anybody. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? No, he's ruthless. But this is amazing. This is amazing. God Almighty set it up so that we can rule and reign with Jesus forever. That we're not just heirs of the kingdom. We're joint heirs. Oh, are you listening to what I'm saying today? You're not just an heir. I'm going to get a castle or a mansion when I get to heaven. Amen. Yeah, that's good. But we're not just going to get a mansion. We're not just going to be floating on a cloud and some, you know, fat baby angel going to be feeding grapes to us under our mouth. No, we're going to be ruling and reigning. Get ready to rule. No, I'm not saying, you know, get ready when you get to heaven. I'm saying get ready this day. Today, you are called to rule. You are called to reign in this life. The Bible says we'll rule and reign in this life like kings. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? I like this kind of preaching. Because I don't like the victim preaching. I don't like preaching, well, you know, God may just put you through it. You know, you got a humbling lesson, you know. And you know, you hear that kind of preaching, or, well, you know, you got a cross to bear. You got to bear your cross, right? And we hear sometimes these things, maybe through religious people, but, you know, no, Jesus bore the cross. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? He bore the cross. Now, let's get into the Easter message here, John 20:11-17. It says here, now this is Mary, and this is really interesting, because when you read the stories of the Bible, you need to really think about them. Sometimes we just gloss over it. And do you realize that Jesus revealed himself to a woman before he revealed himself to a man?
Amen. Praise God.
Why is that? Because ladies know how to talk. No, I won't go there. Ladies know how to give information out. Us men, we may hear about him. You may not know about, like my wife says, I never know anything going on with David, you know. Something going on. My mom would say, did David tell you about what's going on here? And my wife said, no. You know, because we just don't talk that much. But ladies tend to talk, right? Is that right? No, some ladies don't talk. But some ladies do. Amen. I got one lady, no, I don't talk, Pastor. She has her hand behind her back and crossing her finger. Amen. And but look at this, because Mary, and this is interesting too. You know, it's interesting to me. Mary Magdalene was a lady that was bound up by 7 demons. Think about that. And so this lady was the first lady. I'm going to say this. Some of you that has lots of problems, you know, you might be the one getting a greater revelation of Jesus. You might say, oh, my God. Yeah. Some of you problem children out there. Any problem children out there? I'm telling you, you got issues. I got an issue with this message. It's taking way too long, Pastor. Way too long. Amen. Look at this. But Mary, John 20, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And I'm going to say this, that people that have been forgiven of much is... they love much. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You've done a lot of bad in your life, and you realize God's forgiven a lot of bad. You're going to love a lot more.
Amen. Praise God.
Those that live a squeaky clean life, amen, they don't, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, they may not love as much. Amen. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stood down and looked into the tomb. As she saw 2 angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she supposed him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And this is the verse I want to get to. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father, and my God, your God. Oh my, Jesus revealed. Think about what Jesus was revealing to her. Jesus was saying that really, in a sense, Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. But then Jesus came down here to identify himself with us so that he went to the cross and he was elevated so we can be identified with him. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? It's amazing what Jesus did. And Jesus said, I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, my Father, your Father. Oh, powerful. And my God and your God. He put himself in the same classification. Wow, isn't that powerful? And why does the devil hate you so much? Because you're made in God's image. Because you, when you look in the mirror, God is looking back at you. And you might say, what are you talking about? No, God is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? No, no, it's not who you are. It's not all your mess ups and your weaknesses. And, you know, I leave this building every once in a while. And constantly I get in my car and I say, did I lock that door? And I get out every time to check the door and it's locked. And I don't get it. I lock the door and I forget that I locked it. Does anybody ever do that? I mean, I'm like, I got to check that door, you know. And I think, my God, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I'm so finite. You know, God is infinite and we're finite. We are fallible creatures. Amen. And, but thank God that the Holy Spirit can help us. Amen. Man, I got to close this down, but let me give you a couple more points before I close it down. Amen. Jesus came to give us divine miracle healing deliverance. Yes. Divine miracle healing deliverance. Yes. See, listen, one person said, well, I believe Tylenol is a miracle from God. It's God's, I believe doctors is God's way of healing the Christians. Well, doctors are great, and thank God, they help me a lot. But doctors is not the final word. They're not the final say. No, there is a chief physician in the house. Yes. And that chief physician is Jesus.
Yes,
are you listening to what I'm saying today? Jesus can heal you of any ailment. He can heal you of any weakness. He can heal you of any illnesses. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so here in Malachi 4:2, it says, but for you, Malachi 4:2, but for you who fear my name, with awe-filled reverence, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forward and leap joyfully like calves released from a stall. I love that. In other words, you know, some people say, well, you know, I said to this one person, he was smoking a cigarette, and I said, those things will kill you. And I just wanted to let him know. Just in case he didn't read the Surgeon General warning. You know, there's a Surgeon General warning that this may cause you to get cancer. And I said, those things will kill you. And you know what he said? Well, we got to die of something one of these days. We all got to die of something. You know, you always hear that one. We all got to. I don't want to die of cancer. I've seen people die of cancer. That's not a good way to die. You sure you want that route? You sure you want that cancer stick to take you down that road? Well, you know, I got Jesus. Jesus is going to protect me. Well, you may reap what you sow. Mm. If God's trying to tell you to quit, you need to quit.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying today? My grandfather, you know, he smoking cigarette, man, used to be so vogue. It, you know, you could, that lighter, you throw that cigarette in your mouth. You could. Some can do little smoke rings, right? It was so vogue at one time. You know, back in the 60s, it was. I mean, I was watching Dick Van Dyke, and they would light up a cigarette on the Dick Van Dyke show. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's a clean show. That's all. Turn it off, honey. We don't need to be watching that stuff. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So what am I saying? I'm saying that you don't have to die of a disease. That's what I'm saying. No, you can close your eyes and go to heaven. Hallelujah. You know, oh, we all got to die of disease. That's the way the world talks. No, no, no. For us, we don't have to die of a disease. You don't have to die of cancer. No, you can just say, well, like that one lady that was at the house, she was in her 90s, and she said to her mom, I'm going home to see Jesus. And she said, what are you talking about? You're a little feeble. And she said, no, I'm going home to heaven. I talked to Jesus. I know I'm going to go home and see Jesus. This is my day. And the daughter said, you are okay. All right. You can go take your nap. And when she did, she never woke back up. What am I saying? I'm saying we don't have to live like the world. We don't have to die like the world.
Amen.
We don't have to die in a car accident or die. No, no. With long life, I will satisfy you. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, there are a couple in our church, Tony and Letty, and a great couple. And Letty, she's one of our singers, and Tony, awesome guy. And their son got in a car accident. The devil was trying to kill their son.
Amen.
And, you know, I was talking he was in bad shape. I'm telling you, they had to pull, the car was so mangled, they had to use special equipment to get him out of the car. And he went through a lot of stuff. And it just didn't look good. But we kept praying, and we kept believing, and we kept praying, and we kept believing. And it looked like one thing, and then something else came up, and then something else came up. But we kept praying and believing. And he was here last week, and I was talking to him, and he looked like the accident never even touched him. And I'm like, when? What? I said, don't you got the bag? You still got the bag, right? He had a bag attached to him. I said, no, I don't got the bag, Pastor. You know, I think he had a Whopper in his hand and some French fries, you know. And I said, man, what happened? And he was totally, it was like the accident. And I said, you got some money coming, don't you? And he said, oh, man, you probably got $1 million coming from that. You know, somebody else had hit him, right? He said, yeah, Pastor. I said, you better not spend it all. Remember the tithe. Remember the tithe? No, I didn't tell him that. But he was like, yeah, man, I'm gonna be a wealthy man, you know. And you know what? He didn't even look like he was touched. Why? Because see, when God touches you, are you listening? We may be marred through life, and people may have done things to us, but when you get the touch of the Master's hand in your life, I mean, it's like that old story about that violin. Remember that violin story? And it's that violin that was in an auction house, and the guy was trying to auction off the violin, and nobody wanted to buy it. You want to buy this violin? And they were trying to auction it off, but this one violinist came up and said, let me see that violin, and he started playing this beautiful melody, and it was so beautiful. And then after he was done, he said, now what do I get from it? Somebody, you know, they couldn't get a dollar, $500, $1,000, $2,000. Why? What made that violin different? It was the touch of a Master's hand. And what makes you different in this life is the touch of Jesus on your life. You got Jesus. You got nothing to be depressed about. You got nothing to be down about. You got the King of Kings, and you got the Lord of Lords on your life, and you are called to set the captives free. God's raising this church up. It may not look like much. His 12 disciples didn't look like much, but this church is moving forward. I guarantee it. And God is raising you up. And God, and no matter what the enemy did, like he was trying to do to Alex, well, he's sorry he ever messed with Alex. It's going to be a testimony that we're going to keep testifying that God restores, He renews, He sets the captives free, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? I'm telling you, we have stories like that all through our congregation where people are going through this and God is doing this and people are going through that and the devil's trying to do this, but God is doing that. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? This is a miracle church. Some of you are miracles that you're sitting here this morning. I'm telling you, like I said today, I'd rather be here than the best hospital in town. I'd rather be here than the best bar in town. But they got leather sofas, Pastor. I don't care if they got leather sofas. You know that place is like really hopping. No. Exceed Life Church is really hopping. Glory to God. And God is filling you up. God is renewing you. God is restoring you. You're not even going to be the same once you leave this place. You believe that today?
Amen.
Did you receive it today?
Amen.
Glory to God. I only got through two pages. But we got to get moving. Jesus has done so much more than I could eat. I mean, I could keep going, but I got to stop. Amen. Maybe I'll continue this next week. Glory to God. But God is raising you guys up. The Bible says that. Let me just finish this up. You see, Jesus, when he said, do not touch me, Mary, for I'm not sent it to my Father. What Jesus had to do was present his blood to the Father and on the mercy seat. See, that's what the Old Testament, you know, the priest did in the Old Testament. They had to put the blood on the mercy seat. That it was a symbolization of what Jesus would do in heaven, right? And so the once a year the priest would put the blood and it would cover the sins of the people once a year. They would sacrifice an animal, right? And so Jesus brought his blood to the Father. But this is the amazing thing what Jesus did. Do you know what Jesus did after that? He sat down. Jesus sat down. And you know what the Bible says? It says when Jesus was raised from the dead, symbolically, we were raised from the dead. And do you know what the Bible says? That Jesus sat down. And the Bible says when we were raised from the dead, in Ephesians chapter 2, it said that we sat down with Christ. Yes. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And what are we doing while we're sitting? We're waiting for the devil to be made our footstool. I'm telling you, get ready, because Satan's about ready to crush. I'm sorry, Jesus is about ready to crush Satan's head very soon in some of your lives. Maybe there's financial stress. Well, financial stress is going to be crushed in your life because prosperity's coming. Maybe there is a disease or some kind of weakness or something you're dealing with. Well, Jesus is about ready to crush Satan's head in that area of your life. Maybe it's an emotional issue. Jesus is about ready. I'm telling you, the devil is going to be made your footstool. And what you're doing is, as children of God, we're sitting, we're walking in the peace and the presence of God, waiting for the devil. Let me put my foot on the devil's head. Glory. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is how the whole church should be. Oh, man, waiting for God to set our enemies under our feet. People aren't your enemies. The devil's your enemy. People are used by the enemy. We pray for people. Your spouse isn't your enemy. The devil's your enemy. Your boss isn't your enemy. The devil's your enemy. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Your kids aren't your enemy. No, the devil's your enemy. And I'm telling you, once we get that position of seated in Christ, then listen, His yoke is easy and His burdens are light. And you don't have to worry about anything in your life because Jesus got it. Amen. When somebody said, well, what about that? Jesus got it. But what about that situation? Jesus got it. What about that situation? Jesus got it. What about that? Jesus got it. Well, you just say Jesus got it. Yeah, He has it. In other words, He has it in hand. He's working everything out for good. He's working out your life for good to those that love Him and called according to His purpose. He's directing your steps. He's raising you up. He's going to eat. I'm telling you, pretty soon, Jesus, we're getting ready because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a church full of faith. He's coming back for a church that's looking for Him. How many people are looking for the return of Jesus? And I'm telling you, I'm going to be coming up on the second load. I used to say the first load, but that's the dead in Christ first. But no, I believe Jesus is coming back. Glory to God. I'm coming on a second load because He's coming in my lifetime. Hallelujah. And even if He doesn't, I'm going to be ready the last day on this earth. I always say, I'm going to go see Jesus. I'm going to go lay down. And my daughter is saying, yeah, you're a little senile, Dad. Yeah, okay. And then I'm going to go up. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Are you listening? That's the way to go. Everybody needs to die of something. No. 1,000 die. Not us. Why? We're exempt from that. No, we're delivered from that. Surely Jesus bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But you know what? By His stripes, you were and are and getting healed today. Did you receive it today? Amen. Well, somebody shout glory if you did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank You that You have done great and mighty things. And I thank You, Father God, that You're raising each one of us up to be more than conquerors for You. I thank You for the benefits of salvation, sonship benefits, healing benefits, prosperity benefits, Father. I just thank You that You have it all in hand. And I just thank You for each person today that's in this audience, maybe those that are watching online. And this is our Healing Sunday, and I just want to pray for you right now, just a blanket prayer. And if you're watching online, maybe you're dealing with something physically, and God wants to heal you where you're at. And you know, the Bible says that believers can lay hands on the sick, and they shall be be healed. Amen. And the Bible says also that we can pray in the name of Jesus and you can be healed. So I'm going to pray a blanket prayer for you watching online today and even for you that may be in the audience. And I'm going to pray and ask God to come into your life, whatever you're dealing with. Maybe it's not healing, but maybe you need a financial miracle. Maybe you need a restoration in a relationship. God can make it work for you. You believe that today? Let me pray over you. Father, I just thank you. And I'm asking, Father, that you invade each person's life that has a need for you, Lord. Maybe a restoration in a relationship. Maybe a miracle, financial blessing. Maybe a miracle healing. And so, Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd move supernaturally on those that are watching and those that are here in the audience. And I'm asking that you'd give miracles starting today. And I thank you that you're already doing miracles in this church, but I'm believing you for miracles today. And maybe you're there and you know that you haven't lived your life right. Well, there's no shame in Jesus. Amen. Jesus, that you receive him, you will not be disappointed. And I want to encourage you to pray this prayer and make a confession of faith, because the Bible says by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Every idle word will be given an account in the day of judgment. So this word right here that you confess today will usher you in to the kingdom of God. Say this out loud and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification, to make me right before Father God. And Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, empower me with resurrection power, the Holy Spirit, and help me live this life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.